Welcome to the Highway Church Podcast. We pray that this message inspires you today.
A fairly simple word, but I think it's profound today. And we're talking, Claire and I were talking, about things and just felt this is one for the season. By the way, can I encourage you before I start, so I don't forget, next week is Passover, according to the Jewish calendar. Don't miss next Sunday. We're going to do a Passover here next Sunday. And there's such power in what we're going to do next Sunday. So can I encourage you, if you know people and you look out and the people aren't filling the seats this morning, can I encourage you, ask everybody that calls Highway Gilston home to come next Sunday. Because we've got an amazing speaker next Sunday. It's going to be a great Sunday. Let me tell you, it's going to open up your eyes to the gospel. It's going to open up your eyes of what Jesus actually meant when he said a lot of things. It's going to be a powerful morning, so don't miss next Sunday morning. This morning, I want to speak upon the Word. Simple, but so powerful. And I want to open up by telling you a story. I don't think I've said it here before. My son was learning how to fly in Adelaide, and he was working out a way how to come back to the Gold Coast cheaply, because when you're doing schooling, you don't have a lot of money. And so he got one of those return vans, you know, where they leave them in a state and you can pick them up and they give you 4 or 5 days to drive them back. So we drove it back to the Gold Coast and left Adelaide. I've never been to Adelaide before, never driven down that way before. And we're driving back and we'd driven an hour or two and we thought we're going to go along the Great Ocean Road. So Adelaide turned on the weather. It was hosing down. And when we left in the afternoon, and by the time we got to where we're turning off, it was dark. So you couldn't see much. The weather was horrendous, and we were following our phones, our maps on our phones, and we're driving along. It says we'd turn off. We turned off, and we took about 3 or 4 more turns. In the middle of nowhere, didn't know where we were, pitch black in the middle of farming country, no signs, no nothing by this stage. And I think Mr. Google had taken the shortest route, which meant 100 turns instead of going on the highway. And so we're going along, all you can see is trees and cows or sheep or whatever they were as we're going along. And we turned off the highway and we'd taken I don't know how many turns and we lost reception on our phones. Here we are in the middle of nowhere, and we got all we can see is the faceplate of this phone. It doesn't show where we are anymore, and we're just driving. And so I'm looking and I'm thinking, well, the moon's up there. I can sort of see the moon. And I knew that's where we turned off. It was in that direction, so we're just going to keep on heading that direction. We drove for about another 15, 20 minutes, and eventually we knew we were off the map, so we had nothing. So I tried to refresh my phone, and when I refreshed my phone, we lost everything. So now we're driving in pitch black, raining. Don't know where we are. We're hitting T intersections, just taking a chance. Well, the moon's over that way, so let's go this way. And we drove for at least, and I'm not exaggerating, another probably 15, 20 minutes before we finally came to a T intersection, and there was a sign saying, I can't remember what it was, some highway. So we turned and we drove another 5 minutes. We found the highway and we're back on the road. But I just want to say that because when we were lost, we were totally lost. First thing was we lost disconnection with the internet. And I don't know what you're like, but when we're reading the Word of God, we've got to read this Word, but we've got to keep this connection with God as we're reading the Word. First of all, if we're reading the Word and there's no connection with God, it's just going to be a blank faceplate that doesn't really lead us anywhere. But when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, it illuminates and it gives us direction of where we should go. First thing is, if you're stuck, and when you read the Word, all you can see is this blank faceplate. Can I encourage you? You need a connection with the Holy Spirit. You need God to speak to you again this morning. And believe that the Word of God gives us direction for our lives. It is powerful. It is anointed when we have a connection with the Holy Spirit. When we allow God to speak to us, it will lead us, it will guide us, it will keep us on the direction we should go. It will heal us from our past and it will set us free so we can walk into our future. So Hebrews 4:12, it says, "For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword." You ready for a bit of piercing this morning? You know, and we've probably said this a lot of times too, that sword they talk about is a short little sword, and it was meant for close personal combat. It's not something you see that was big and long so you could hold the person away and just cut them to pieces. You had to come in close. You had to come in close and do this personal contact. So, you know, if things are going wrong in your life and maybe it's getting a bit dirty in your life, maybe you need a bit of a two-edged sword to get into contact with that thing and get off me. Get off me. Get off me. It penetrates in the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and it judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. You know, as Christians, and Val, that was a great communion this morning. You do realize that when we're saved, and Val, I'm going to say exactly the same thing you did. We're not just walking along and having deficits in our lives, and we'd start from this point, say like a two-year-old, and then you're just going to grow from that point and move on with your faith. It says you've got to be born again. So it's completely born again. We know the story of Nicodemus in the Bible where Nicodemus asked, what must I do to be saved? And he says, you've got to be born again. He says, how can I go into my mother's womb? Because it's a fresh start. It's a new start. It's not just starting from somewhere that's built. You've got to realize we've got to throw away everything we knew and start afresh. Start afresh in God. New, completely new. You can leave the old behind. You don't have to carry that into your new life. You can walk in new life with him. And the importance of the Word of God is because we have grace. Grace sets us free and invites you into a relationship. Grace invites you into a relationship, but truth sets you free. And if you don't know the truth, you're going to struggle. So my points about the Word of God. The first point, really simple, read it. Have you got a daily discipline to read the Bible, to read the Word? Sometime in your day, do you get up and do you read the Word? Or have your phone? I do read, but I'm in my car. I'll choose something in the Word of God, a study or something, and normally it's the Word, and I'll listen to a book of the Bible while I'm driving. I get half an hour to drive from home to here, or half an hour from here to where I'm going. And so I get the opportunity to listen to either a couple of Gospels or something in the Word anyway. And so I'm always feeding my mind. See, in John 8, 31 to 32, it says, Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. That's a thought. If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. And you will know the truth. And what's the rest of it? Set you free. Are you free this morning? Have you got some mindsets that need to be broken? Hey, we all have. Come on, let's be honest. Time to get in the Word, peoples. You know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Meditate it. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you, to enlighten it to your very soul. You know, and with this world we are at the moment, there's so much in our phones. There's so many different interpretations of Scripture and things going on, and people interpret Scripture to write it over their lifestyle their lifestyle to write over Scripture, and so they change Scripture for their bent. But can I encourage us, when we read the Word, can we just believe the Word? And it's not just reading it, it's actually studying it. And I just want to give you a couple of thoughts. In Matthew 10, 14 to 16, it says, if anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, leave that home or town and shake off the dust of your feet. Really, come on, shake it off. Shake it off. Can you imagine, they've offended me, so I'm going to shake off this dust of my feet. I'm not going to have anything more to do with them. Truly, I tell you, it will be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment for that own town. Now, who believes that interpretation of Scripture? That if they've offended you, you shake off the dust of your feet, you leave it behind, and you say, God, you deal with them. Well, you know, there's another interpretation of that Scripture. And this is a Willardism. You know, there's a story in the Bible about the 12 disciples. And he sends them out, and this is where the Scripture comes from. And we almost think that when he says, shucking the dust off your feet. It's almost a curse. You're going to curse these people and have nothing more to do with them. And it can be taught of as a negative, but when you think of Jesus, what was he like? Was he always loving? Was he always kind? Always generous? Always looking out for the ones on that were lost? Caring for the needy? Does that sound like Jesus? Can you imagine Jesus when he was getting whipped on the cross? Did he say, God, just shake off the dust of my feet. Will you go and get these people for what they've done to me? What did he say? Forgive them, for they know that what they do. Does it sound like Jesus to tell them just to shake the dust off their feet? It doesn't sound like. Can we read the Bible? Can we always put it through the filter of Jesus? Whenever we read, can we say, was this what Jesus was like? And if it's not what Jesus was like, can you do some research and find out what the Bible actually says? Because you do know the disciples were very proud of the dust that was on them. Because when they followed Jesus, the dust off his feet would rise up on them and they'd be covered in the dust of the rabbi that they followed. It was actually a blessing. And when he says to shake the dust off your feet, I wonder if he was saying, some of that dust, some of that Holy Spirit that's on me, some of that blessing that's on me, they're offending me. Well, I'm going to shake some of that on them. They might cursing me, but I'm going to shake off a blessing on them. Have some of this. Have some of this. And so often our Christian faith, people come to us and say, oh, the word of God is so negative. But maybe he was just saying, just bless them. When they curse you, just bless them. Romans 12:20, it says, on the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Doesn't that sound like a positive thing? Heaps of burning coals on their head. Yeah, give it to them. God, will you just pour some coals out upon them because they've given me a hard time. But you know, does that align with what Jesus was like? When you read that, does that really align with what Jesus was like? You know, back in those days, when they were all in villages. And what they would do is to make sure there was fire for everybody in the village, they would keep a central fire. And it was someone's job to always make sure the coals were running in this fire. And when they came home from working in the fields, they would go to the fire, they'd pick up the coals, they would put it on a container on their heads, and they would take it back to their home, to their house, so they could light their fire so they could cook their meals. So if you see your neighbor walking along and he's running home to get home to cook his meal, and the coal's gone out on this container on his head, what would you do? You grab some coals and you put it on his head so he can go home and cook his meal. He was actually saying to bless them. To bless them. Not to curse them, but to bless them. These burning coals put on his head, you're actually providing for them so they could cook their dinner. Just something simple. It's so important for us to know the culture when we read the word. Not just take it, can I encourage us all? We don't have to be all theologians, but can we put it through the filter of Jesus? What was Jesus like? And when we read the word, it'll empower us. If Jesus is like this, hey, maybe I should be like this as well. The word is so powerful. It's like a mirror. Highlights our positive traits and our area for growth. Reveals how to heal our past and gives us direction for our future. Have you ever read the story of Adam and Eve? Put yourself in their position, maybe with clothes on. But put yourself in their position. Would you have eaten the apple? It's so easy for us to sit back there and say, oh, if Eve hadn't have given Adam that apple, and if Adam wasn't so gutless and he took that apple from Eve, we'd be in a much better place. But hey, I wonder if we would have eaten that apple. Say, God, I'm just sorry for the apples I've eaten in my life. I'm so sorry for the things I've done wrong. I don't want to live with this apple any longer. Lord, will you take this apple from me? I don't want to be released from my sin. The word of God is so powerful. We write the scripture of our lives. The first thing is to read it. Read it well. The second one is to believe it. It's not just a magic pill to use when we need it. It has to be believed. Psalm 119:30 says, I have chosen the way of faithfulness. I've set my heart on your laws. You know, when my son and me were driving and we had the phone, we lost the connection. And you do know that when we lose the connection isn't lost on God's side. It's lost on our side. Yeah. It's lost because of the sin. It's lost because of the times we've walked away from God. It's lost because of the times we haven't spent with him where we should be daily reading his word and spending time in prayer and forgiving people and living our lives, a Christian life. See, this scripture says, I have chosen the way of faithfulness. I don't know what it's like for you, but sometimes it's just a choice. And when I choose to step in, God meets me in that place. When I choose to lay down, God lifts me up. When I choose to forgive, God forgives me. It's our choice. So when you believe it, the choice is to do it. In Luke 4, 16 to 21, it says, and he came to Nazareth where he'd been brought up, as was his custom. He went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found a place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Wouldn't you have loved to have been in that room? Because he's anointed me, and by the way, you might want to hear this because this is the same words I believe he's speaking over you today. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you, or upon me, as Jesus said, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Then he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. I wonder what they felt like. Whoa. We haven't heard the word of the Lord for over 400 years. Speaking to us directly. Something welled up within me when he was speaking. I felt a spark coming up inside my being. Oh, can you feel the excitement rising up with me? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Is this man the Messiah? Is he the promised one? Is this the one who's going to set us free? Can you imagine the excitement in their lives? By the way, this is after Jesus had been baptized in the Holy Spirit and had been tested by the enemy. And while he's being tested, what did he respond? He responded with the word. He responded with the word. He responded with the word. We should know the word. And in that story, someone stands up and says, oh, no, this is just Joseph's son. This is just Joseph's son. I know him. His dad was just a carpenter. He's come from Nazareth. Nothing good comes out of Nazareth. And they came from this place where, hey, maybe this is Messiah. But because of words that were spoken, instead of believing the word that Jesus spoke, they believed the words of man. And what did they do next? They dragged him out of that synagogue, tried to take him to a cliff and throw him off. And Jesus walks out of them. All those people, just imagine the opportunity they had of spending time with Messiah, listening to him, speaking to him, allowing him to minister. Maybe there were people there who needed to be set free and healed, but because of unbelief that was spoken to them, they missed it. They missed it. And instead, what did they do? They took him out and tried to throw him off a cliff. The word of the Lord is so powerful. As he read the word, he spoke it out and said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. And they didn't believe the word. They believed the word of the other person that said he's just a carpenter. May we never miss it like they did. May we believe the word of God. It is truth, it is powerful, it is active, and it sets us free. Matthew 9:29 says, and then he touched their eyes and said, according to your faith, let it be done to you. I believe my faith releases the power of God's word in my life. Can I encourage you, when you don't feel it, when you feel nothing, do you still believe God's word? When you feel nothing, do you still believe God's word? It's my faith that unlocks the key for the power and the authority of God's word. Doesn't matter if I don't see it, doesn't matter if I don't feel it, doesn't matter. God's word is God's word, and I'm going to believe it. His promises, as far as I'm concerned, are yes and amen for my life. That is my faith statement. See, faith comes by hearing, and the faith that we walk with actually even comes from the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So read it, believe it, and then declare it. Make a confession to ourselves, to others, and to the enemy what the Word of God says. Jesus 17:20 says, he replied, "Because you have so little faith, truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." Do you believe that one? Do you believe that one? Oh man, you don't sound believable at all. Oh, Lord, help us to have a revelation of your word. Oh, Lord. You know, there's a saying, when we say what God says, we begin to think like God thinks. Did you notice that first we've got to say, when we say what God says, then we think like God thinks. Are you going to partner with him with your mouth and say what God says over your life? When oppression comes your way, you're going to kick it off. You're going to say where it comes from and say, "No, that is not me. That is not my bread. I've been saved, healed, delivered. I am set free in the name of Jesus. I'm more than conqueror in him who loved me." Those scriptures are going to start coming out of your mouth when the enemy comes to afflict us. Because our language changes. It changes the situation. It changes the circumstance in our world. And it changes our mindsets in the world. Can I encourage you? How many of you have said, "I'm never going to do this again"? I'm never going to do this again. Never, ever going to do this again. And then 5 minutes later, can you imagine what God's doing? No, he doesn't do that. The power of your word. Can I encourage you, if you confess it once and you fail, confess it again. If you fail again, confess it again. If you fail again, confess it again. I take it like a person. Some of us have got a big, huge chainsaw, and that problem's in our life. We just go once and it's gone. But other of us have got like a little toothpick, and we've got to pick away and pick away and pick away. Hey, but I can tell you, when you keep confessing it, eventually you're going to break through that thing, and eventually its hold on you is going to go. But it's up to us to keep confessing what is over our lives. Not to believe what the enemy says, but to allow that word to come in you, allow it to do its work inside of you, allow it to do its work outside of you into the things in your life. See, my emotions, my diagnosis might be saying something bad. I'm not saying they're not real, but I'm not going to listen to them. I'm going to believe what God's word says over my life. So after you've declared it, what's the next thing to do? Act on it. Put it into practice. If you ever had, I'm sure you've had your children where they go to the table and the next night eat your veggies. They don't eat their veggies. Next night eat your veggies. Next night eat your veggies. Next night eat your veggies. Over and over and over and over and over and over. We've noticed with our kids, we used to say that over and over and over again, and eventually they'd start eating their veggies. Now our kids love their veggies. Most of them. Repetition, penetration. Act on it, put into practice. Matthew 7:24-27 says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. It did not fall because it had foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does them, puts them into practice, is like a foolish man..." Does not put them into practice, is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. We believe in the Bible. We confess it. But do we live what it says? Do we act on it? Did you just wake up? Can we read it as the writers intended it? When the sands of opinions come our way, Can we believe in the rock of the word? Storms will always come. That's one thing that happens. They will always come. The question is, what do you build your house on? Are you ready? Are you ready for those storms? I'm not speaking negatively. I'm saying we live in a broken world. There's going to be storms. But what is the foundation you're going to build your house on? That's the question. See, when we act on God's word acts on us. Say it again. When we act on God's word acts on us. Many of us have come from broken situations. Many of us have had things happen that were out of our control. And we can't take responsibility for those because they were out of our control. We can take responsibility for the amount of forgiveness we give. We can take responsibility for the times we choose to turn towards God and instead of turning towards something else. I believe the enemy, the devil, is alive and active, but I don't want to give him more credit than what he's due. I want to take responsibility for some of my stuff, own it, and break that power. Because you know when a door's been opened, we can close it. If the enemy's knocking at your door, you can choose to open it up or to close it. And what God's word says, can we come against the enemy just like Jesus did when he was tempted? To take the word of God, and if the enemy comes and he says this, you say, no, this is what the word of God says. This is who I am. And when we do that, the enemy has no legal right upon our lives. Can I tell you, we've dealt with plenty of people who have been demonically oppressed and depressed. And these spirits think they have power and authority, but let me tell you, you say the word of God, they lose their authority. When you say the name of Jesus, they lose their authority. It's up to us to stand up and have the word of God in our mouths and to speak to these things and tell them they have no right to afflict us like they do. By faith, this word is so powerful. Can you imagine God's here this morning? And he's standing here like a farmer and he's throwing out some seeds this morning. He's throwing out the same seeds to every single one of us. We've all got a seed that's coming our way, whether it's sunflowers or pumpkins or whatever seed you want. The seed hits you. The question is not what seed is going to hit you. The question is what sort of ground are you going to be? Are you going to be that soft, malleable ground that the seed is going to grow and it's going to grow really strong? Or are you going to be rocky or are you going to be rock hard? I'm tough. That seed is not going to affect me. What ground are we like this morning? The seed, the word of God, are you going to have to come into your life to penetrate, to change you, allow you to grow? So when you look in a mirror, one day I would hope, and this is probably, I'd say it should be all of ours grand plan, that when we look in a mirror, all we can see is Jesus. All we can see is Jesus. Instead of seeing that the hurts, the problems, the scars. We're always going to wear a scar, but can you imagine all we can see when we reflect our reflection is the love of Jesus. When people look upon us, all they can see is the love of Jesus. All they can see is the authority of Jesus in our lives. Once again, grace invites you into a relationship, but the truth sets you free. Do you want to be set free this morning? Yeah, I want to be set free. Man, I want to be set free. We read the word. Can we read it? Can we take time? Can we believe it? Can we declare it? And then can we act on it? Simple word, but this truth of the word will set you free. Now, if you want to be free this morning, I believe He's here, right here, right now. I believe His Spirit is in this room. I believe He's inside of me. I believe He's actually on you, working on your behalf. I actually believe He's in work on everyone's life because He's the very breath that we breathe. When God breaks through, and he sets you free. There's no point in setting you free if you're going to go back to the same old stuff. There's a story in the Bible that says when Jesus came, or he tells a story about when heals a demoniac, and yet they open up the door and seven more come back. You know, when you're set free, you're set free. But as we read the Word of God, are we going to close the doors? Close the doors in our life so we can live free? Because I just don't want to be set free. I want to live free. I don't want this to be a one-off time where I come at the altar and God comes upon me and I feel His freedom upon my life. I want to walk out of this place completely different. I want to live free. I want the Spirit of God to affect my family. I want it to affect my kids. I want it to affect my workmates. I want people to be able to see something different in me, that when they look at me, they realize that I'm not just who I used to be. I'm something different now because God has affected my life. And when God has this intersection where He comes into my life and He does something powerfully for me, there's an intersection where I come to, a T-intersection where I can go back to the old stuff or I can step into the new. I want to be the person that comes to this intersection and steps in the new, and I never go back to that old stuff yet again. I want to stay free. Can I encourage you this morning, if you don't know Jesus, the first part of that is coming to this intersection and choosing life, choosing Jesus. There's an element when we come by faith to God, where God's Holy Spirit comes upon us and He calls us. He comes with His power and authority. He does everything from His side of the bargain in our lives. But from our side of the bargain, we ask Him in. And we say, Lord God, will You take all of me? Because I trust You. I know it's good. And I don't know if you're here this morning and you need to be you're that person that's standing at that crossroads. And you're saying, God, I'm choosing whether I'm choosing You or I'm choosing my old life. And for some people, it's choosing that once, and it's choosing daily to walk that life. Every day I choose, every day I choose, every day I choose, I choose, I choose. And I watch myself grow. Is there someone here who'd like to, this morning, say, God, I just know I need You in my life. And I want to find out what that means. I want to give the opportunity to step into my life, to change me, to renew me, to set me free from my past, and to give me a future and a hope. If that's you to do here this morning, what we do is in this church is we put up our hands and say, yes, yeah, that's me. That's me, and from this moment on, I'm going to make a choice to step and to follow You as best as I can, as best as I can. I want to allow You to come and to set me free from the things that hold me back and allow me to step into all that You have for me. If that's you this morning, can I ask that you'd raise your hand and we're going to pray a prayer around that this morning, that God's going to intersect your life powerfully. So if that's you, do you want to raise your hand? Anyone here this morning? Thank you. Mia, thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Can I say, you're a changed man. A changed man from last week. Changed man. God's going to do something else to you this morning. Anyone else here this morning? Awesome. Awesome, Caden. Even if this was the first time, or was the second or the third time, can I ask you all, and don't want to embarrass anyone, can you come out the front again, and we're going to pray for you? And anyone else, can I say too, anyone else who feels like they've just gone off the track a little bit and they just want some prayer this morning? Do you want to come out too? Come on, you guys, put up your hands. Do you want to come out this morning? Caden? No? And I know you guys have a relationship with God. Love your hunger. Can I encourage you all of us, stay soft. Stay soft in God. Allow Him to speak to you. Can someone just come and stand behind these people for me? You know, Gideon, he was a mighty man, as you know. And just like Gideon, you know, who was hiding in that house, crushing the wheat, whatever he was doing. But he became a mighty man of valor. And I can see that all over you. God is rewriting the script, and he's constantly rewriting the script of our lives. And by the way, if you're sitting down there this morning, if you want this prayer for you, you accept this prayer as well. And I'm going to pray, and can you pray after me yet again? And say, Lord God, first I come to you. I give you permission to work in my life. I'm sorry for the things I did that didn't live up to your standards. And now, Lord, I give all those things to you. Can you just put your hands out? I give you those things. I give you permission to move in my life. I give you permission to do what you need to do. And now, I choose to leave the old life behind and to step into the new. So right now, I say to everything that's in my life that I don't want, I tell you to go. In Jesus' name. And I choose to step in to all that you have for me. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe he is Lord. I believe he has the best for me. And now I open myself up to everything he has for me in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. So, Lord God, let your spirit, Lord, come upon these ones, we pray, in Jesus' name. Let it just be released, Lord, we pray, Lord. Let there be an experience, Lord, of your spirit, Lord, moving upon them in a powerful, mighty way, Lord, we pray, in the name of Jesus. Lord, an encounter with you, Lord, I know, get in, you probably don't know what this means. Just stand there and let, you know, his Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of you. And he's there inside of you. So, Lord, I pray and ask for Gideon, Lord, you'd be released more upon him, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name. For Caden too, Lord, I ask. That God, Lord, their experiences won't just be in their mind, Lord, but it'd be in their soul and their spirit to be refreshed and renewed, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
We hoped you loved that message. If you want any more information about us, head to highway.com.au.